This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to the NBA Finals Preview Podblast for the NBA team. I am joined by my co-host Adam Murray. Adam, this is official. We got our tuxes on, even though we're in a podcast and no one can see it. We're in our ceremonial form or mode today, are we not?
I don't know why you're dressed up for this.
Well, I'm excited. It's the first time in the history of our podcast that we're not doing the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. It's so much more different. It's the Toronto Raptors versus the Golden State Warriors. It seems so fresh.
Basically, can we say that we were right?
Well, yeah.
I think, in the end, we might have picked the Celtics, but I recall back in the previews me saying the Raptors are better than the Celtics, and everywhere you look.
And that in the short term, the Raptors were going to be better than they were the year before, which was exactly right. I think the Raptors had home court in the playoffs last year. Am I right or wrong? It was either them or Boston, and I don't think it was Boston. It was, because Cleveland was a four seed, and they lost to Cleveland. So what it was is they had home court throughout the Eastern Conference, and they got swept.
Well, it didn't matter. You hit the LeBron, and that was pretty much it. But
yeah,
but they, you know what? Let's start with the Raptors then. They revamped. They became a team. They basically sort of figured out the coaching might be the problem and the lack of changing it up.
They spot DeMar DeRozan, who's like a middling superstar at best, for Kawhi Leonard, who is an MVP caliber player.
Well, who became a superstar. Everyone is like, well, oh, now he's the three of the big three. It's LeBron and Durant, now it's Kawhi. Well, it's like, well, yeah, because in San Antonio, he was just the system, and he was buried in the system. Here, he was...
If he ever departed, I mean, I'm sure Kawhi would be the star of any team, just like he was with Toronto, and it kind of showed that whole way, 58-24 in the regular season. In the postseason, that's when Leonard really took it on, just absolutely crushed it, averaged 33 points a game, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, just an absolute stud in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, he just, like, DeRozan would take bad shots, and Lowry would take bad shots. Kawhi's like, no, let's pass around and start taking good shots. Like, we can do that in the playoffs? I thought that was regular season only.
I do want to correct myself. He didn't average 6 assists. That was Kyle Lowry. He averaged 4 assists. But he did average 1.6 steals and 50% field goal percentage, which is just, for a star player with high usage, I mean, obviously, from as you could tell from the bouncing of the ball against the Sixers in the Game 7, I mean, it's hard to beat a team when a guy that good has the ball in his hands to win a game.
Pretty much. And, you know, it was, and unlike, you know, the Damian Lillard shot, that was a normal shot as opposed to 37 feet fadeaway half quarter. And
yes,
it took the balance as good. And all of a sudden, you know, people were like, oh my God, Milwaukee just streamed game 1-2. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to win at home. And then all of a sudden it moved to Toronto. Well, they only won by 2 in overtime.
There's always a narrative there. And winning 4 in a row is not like a foreign thought. Like, it's happened many, 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 many times in the playoffs, especially with really, really good teams having the home court and having, like you said, having those first 2 home games. What I think happened was that in game 2, Milwaukee beat them so badly that there's always that snap judgment of, oh, will Toronto get out of this funk? And what happened is they had this very close overtime game in game 3 where Giannis fouled out. And I know that Milwaukee had the lead at some point in the second half against Toronto in game 4, but it never felt to me like Milwaukee was in any kind of groove. And the moment Toronto got into their groove, they were going to blow them away, and that's what they did. Game 5 was the turning point of the whole thing.
Oh, game 5, they definitely, you know, like, I just said, you have to win at home, and they didn't really look good at all at home. Toronto just sort of smothered them, and then that showed in Game 6 was like, they played with desperation. They played like they're going to be eliminated.
The only thing that was weird about that game five is that Milwaukee came out red hot. I think Eric Bledsoe made like, what, five shots in the first quarter? Just absolutely were obliterating them early. Then Toronto just went on their run. They got it to a tie game at some point in the second quarter. And Milwaukee went on another run early in the second half. And then they just went absolutely ice cold in the fourth quarter.
And then that's pretty much...
That was the series for the most part, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, the game six, you just watch, like, you know, Milwaukee got off to their super huge start. They were, like, I think 6 for 9 to start off from three. It's like, well, they're not going to keep that up. They're not. Yes. They can't shoot 60% from
there. And Toronto was red hot shooting the three. I mean, Fred VanVleet deserves a lot of credit. I know the postseason numbers won't say it because off the bench he averaged like 6 points and three assists, but he was a sharp shooter in the last couple of games of that playoff series against Milwaukee.
Well, basically, Nick Nurse just sort of showed what you do. You have to shorten your bench. No matter how deep you are.
They absolutely did. They went to 8 players.
Went to 8 players, and those 3 guys straight up overachieved. Norman Powell, we had not heard from all year, and was, that was a waste to give him $10 million a year. What were they thinking? Oh, he's terrible. Oh, he didn't earn his contract. Oh, he's going to get traded. All of a sudden, it's like, that's the guy. That was the guy they signed. VanVleet was like, oh, he's a legitimate backup point guard. He deserves his 25 minutes a game.
And it wasn't a situation in VanVleet like where we've seen this case with Kyle Lowry, where in the playoffs he just doesn't show up. Like, Lowry was playing well throughout most of the playoffs in this postseason. VanVleet was just like, he was the machine gun that goes with, he was like the torpedo that goes with the bazooka, if that makes any sense.
And then Ibaka, well, can he take a lesser role? Can him and Gasol plateau? He's like, yeah, I got no problem.
Yeah, and Gasol started for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah, Gasol started because of Lopez, you have to start him. And then all of a sudden, he just came in, oh, nothing changed, just keep the machine moving, keep it moving. And that's just efficient roster management.
And even when Siakam had his second-year struggles, you know, or sophomore struggles, like in a big-time playoff situation, Danny Green was a no-show. That's where Powell came in. That's where VanVleet came in. Serge Ibaka didn't score a lot, but he rebounded well, and he was just like a big presence. The one thing that Toronto has, it's the same thing you hear about, like, college basketball teams that are very athletic and have a lot of prospects. Their length is – and it kind of reminds me of the Thunder team that Ibaka played for in 2016. They have so much length across the board, starting with Leonard and then with Siakam and Ibaka and then Marc Gasol as sort of a mobile big. They could just throw a lot of, like, length at you defensively to make life very difficult, make you force you to take tough shots. And Milwaukee just could not make the tough shots.
They did, and – Milwaukee, we had said the all you're gonna do is they're gonna make somebody other than Giannis beat him. Just lock him down. Make Eric Bledsoe beat you. Make Brogdon beat you. And well, none of them could do it.
Nope. And like Brogdon had his moments. Even Eric Bledsoe had his moments. The problem was like they couldn't all function at the same time and fire on all cylinders. Like Brook Lopez had that great game one. I don't remember too much out of him except for a couple of good defensive stances. The one who absolutely disappeared was Nikola Mirotic. I don't know if it was a matchup situation where Mike Budenholzer just didn't trust him, but he just banished him to the bench in the series.
Well, it sort of became Atlanta Hawks ball from back in the day was, well, we're just going to try to shoot threes and play small. It's like, well, you can't. You have Mirotic. You have Lopez. You have Giannis. You got to go big.
And they couldn't switch with Ilyasova because Ilyasova got matched up with Kawhi Leonard. And that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, that's just game over for him. And and you know, don't forget, none of those guys have, you know, Ilyasova does, Brook Lopez does, but Milwaukee hadn't been to a playoff. They didn't want to play off since 2001. You have, you had, you know, the inexperience sort of showed there. So Toronto, with their defense, sort of came through, and then they deserve to be in the finals.
Yeah, a very deserving team, a legitimately great team. Would you agree?
I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, like, look, the Thunder didn't make the playoffs 3 years ago, and a lot of people would generally agree because of the challenge that they gave the Warriors at the time. Man, this is something, you know. Now they play the Warriors. The Warriors have a little bit of strife, but almost the good kind, where they have so much weaponry on their side, and they have so many star players, and they're playing so well on offense that you almost think that they could win this without Kevin Durant. I'm not in that audience. I don't think that they can win without Durant. I think Durant has to play in order for them to win. But I wanted to get your take on that.
I disagree. For one, you know, first off, that's all the talking heads. We need to create drama somehow. Well, what's KD's legacy if he doesn't play? Can they win without KD?
I don't care about legacy. He won two Finals MVPs.
They look pretty good without him. Yeah, because he was a luxury from the get-go. They don't need him. And you can, you know, the way it matches up, all it takes is just Steph Curry hitting, like, oh, look, Steph Curry hit 20 threes. He set an all-time playoff and three-point record. Oh, what a shock. You know, the team is already a passing team. He just sort of fit in. They didn't have to change their style for him. So with or without him, it's sort of, you have to rely on somebody from the bench to do something. But they're not necessarily – it's going to be, I'll say, a – tough win as opposed to just if they had Durant, I think it would just be a breeze.
That's interesting. I really do think that they need Durant. They were separated by one game in the regular season when it came to win and losses. So for those people that say the regular season doesn't matter, guess what? In this scenario, it kind of sort of did.
It does because I got the home court. And the only thing that sort of I was laughing at because I was like, hey, do they still do the 2-3-2? Because if they did,
no.
Toronto would have zero chance.
It'd be 2-2. It's 2-2-1-1.
Yeah, because if it was 2-3-2, all we got to do is win one in Toronto and we could just win three in a row at home. That's easy.
Yeah, that's what the Heat did against the Thunder. Am I right? They won one of them in Oklahoma City, and then they won those three in that little – I always called it the desert island. Those three in the middle where you got to go to that team's place, and you got to get out there.
That's just an unfair advantage. Like, you got three games? That's not – you know, they even it up.
It happened to the Lakers when they went to Detroit. I mean, Detroit was probably going to win that series anyway. But, Detroit just, murdered them in the three games in Detroit, and L.A. went out of there being eliminated instead of keeping up, you know? It's just all the scenarios are different. What do you think of the scenario this year? We start on Thursday. It's in Toronto. It's in Jurassic Park. You know, Drake's going to be nice and pipping out. So how do you see this in that? At least the first two games of the series. I'm pretty sure Kevin Durant won't play in game one. I'm almost sure of that. There are rumors, however, that DeMarcus Cousins might be ready, even though he has the torn quad. And the other one is that, and this is kind of interesting, OG Anunoby will be back from that appendectomy.
Yeah, but they're gonna be out of the rotation. Warriors need Cousins more than the Raptors need Anunoby.
Yeah. It's interesting. That was kind of the reason why we saw a lot of Norman Powell. I mean, you know, the only thing that kind of gives me caution about that, like you said, with the chemistry of your rotation, is that this happened with the Magic about 10 years ago, exactly 10 years ago, where Jameer Nelson was hurt and they played Rafer Alston, and Alston played really, really well. They rushed Jameer Nelson back for the finals, and he didn't play well because he was just not in the group. Yeah, and they had to sit Rafer Alston, who was red hot. So I don't want to say it's going to be that kind of impactful to have Anunoby start suddenly playing, you know, Powell's minutes or Danny Green's minutes. But it's just interesting. You know, it's just something to think about. You think how important is Cousins to what the Warriors do? He only played two games before he had the injury. Really, one and a half.
He provides six fouls, and he's a big body. And with Toronto's gonna go big. He's on Gasol. Bam, he's on Ibaka. Mm-hmm. You just need somebody, and the problem is he'll be slow, so they're just gonna probably run through him initially, and that's why he might be back. But I think it just might be more of a decoy type. Oh well, we need to sort of plan for him and hope.
We didn't talk too much about the Warriors dispatching the Portland Trailblazers in four games in a four-game sweep. You can talk a little bit about it if you wanted to. Basically, it just came down to the Warriors went back to their old formula, and it worked like a charm. That's really what it was.
Well, basically, we also called that, and we said it was about matchups.
Mm-hmm.
And
I didn't like it for Portland.
Work one bit for them, and just everything – there's not much you can do if just your matchup is just terrible from the get-go. Whereas, you know, Toronto and Milwaukee, it was we didn't know who was going to do what, who's, you know, everything was sort of a level playing field.
Well, the matchup was so fascinating with Giannis and Kawhi Leonard. When they put Kawhi primarily on Giannis, that's when the whole thing changed. Giannis just was not nearly as effective. So what do you think here with Golden State? This is where the moving parts here with the Warriors get interesting. With the offense flowing as well as it has with Durant out, they've dipped into their bench a lot more with guys like Sean Livingston, Alphonso McKinney, Andrew Bogut gives them fouls, you know, some fouls. Quinn Cook plays a little bit at the guard spot. So they use their ancillary parts a lot more now because they don't have Durant to take up those minutes because he averaged like 39 minutes. The other thing that can't be forgotten about Durant before he got injured against Houston is that Durant was on an absolute tear. He's averaging like 34 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists.
He was just being normal. That's not even a tear.
But he was killing people.
Yeah, but that's what he does. Mm-hmm. People forget that.
But what I'm trying to say is that without him, you know, they kind of had to go back to sort of like a system offense, but a really awesome superstar laden system offense.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you know, they had to come back and beat Portland, which mm-hmm. was, you know, I expect the same thing. Toronto's probably going to take a big lead or a lead, and then Golden State's going to get hot, and then they're going to come back and overtake them. It's not going to be an easy victory, but I see Golden State. It's one of those things like
Vegas does not like Toronto in the scenario.
Nobody likes Toronto. Everyone loves Toronto. Everyone wants Toronto to win.
Toronto's a great city. Yeah.
Yes, considering you're such a world traveler and you've yes. been there many, many times.
I've been there so many times. It's the home of Mississauga? Is it's in Ontario, right?
Mississauga is the next town over.
But that's the new basketball hotbed, right, in Canada.
Well, it's like it's the Toronto suburbs, more or less.
Look at all these people that are going to be watching Kawhi Leonard wanting to be like him, and all of a sudden you have the next great basketball players from Canada.
That's where the D-League team, I believe, is. They have a little mall there. It's Toronto West. Toronto yes. West towards Buffalo.
But anyways, how hot will the Air Canada Centre be? How hot will the crowd be?
I want to say very, but then you just like I was saying just a minute ago, we want Toronto to win, but it's just everywhere you look, it's like, well, it's Golden State. They're going to win. You know Curry's going to score 50 somewhere. You know somehow Clay is just going to go – he's going to go 5 for 5 in like one quarter.
I'll say this for the Warriors. Even if they do win, it's not going to be easy. I just don't think it's going to be a rollover. Like the last two with Cleveland. I just don't see it.
It'll be well fought, but I just still see Golden State in 5 or
mm-hmm. Let's get the matchups for a second and then we can get out of here with the pod blast. Who does Draymond Green guard? Is it Kawhi?
Kawhi.
Not Siakam.
Nope, it has to be Kawhi.
Okay, Klay Thompson. Who can guard Klay Thompson in that scenario?
Danny Green.
Not Marc Gasol?
Cause, you can put Marc Gasol on a 2?
Yeah, he guarded – I was watching Milwaukee. He was guarding freaking Malcolm Brogdon sometimes.
Yeah, but Milwaukee plays that fluid. Everybody plays every position, and mm-hmm. you can do
switch,
that.
The switch defense, as they say. Yeah,
I think Toronto's going to sort of more fall back into his zone and just sort of let Gasol just roam down low.
Both teams do like to switch a little bit, especially Golden State. I mean, that's where the confusion lays between the matchups like we're talking about. That's why we're having a little bit of a crossing of the streams of who will guard who. It also comes down to the fact that Durant and Cousins play. So I'm just going to ask you, if Durant plays, when will he play?
Game 3.
That'll be the first time at Golden State. Yeah.
I'll say game 4. If it's like 2-1, they'll like, okay, we need to cart him out now.
Yeah, I mentioned Klay because I just feel like that's going to be the toughest matchup for the Raptors. Like, you can put Danny Green on him, you can try Norman Powell, maybe on Anobi if he's healthy enough to start. But he's going to be so rusty that you don't want to, you know, risk it. The problem for the Warriors is the Raptors' size, I think, is going to be a big, big problem.
Yeah, it's a traditional offense versus defensive matchup here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a good defense always beats a good offense. No, this is still the transcendent offense.
The Warriors' defense has been lacking in terms of points allowed because they played so much faster because they're averaging 117 points a game. But their efficiency has been pretty good. I mean, the reason why they came back against Portland is because they put the crunch on them defensively in the fourth quarter. So you can't give me this sense like the Warriors are not a good defense. The Warriors have a really good defense.
No, the Warriors have a really good defense. Toronto has a great defense, and the Warriors, it'll be a hard fought battle. I don't see it being 117-115.
So let's finish this. What do you got?
Four to one.
the Warriors winning in five games.
Warriors in five.
I'll take the Warriors in six games. I think it will be a six-game series. I think it's going to be a scenario where they're going to have to finish them in Golden State, because if they have to go back to Toronto in Game 7, Toronto's going to win.
And that would be nice to see. It's just... you just don't see it, though. I just you look it on a paper, and it's just like...
That's a three-peat. I can count. That's 1, 2, 3 in a row for the Warriors. Like, what's their legacy? Like, let's really get to the legacy stuff, not the Durant talking head stuff, the actual stuff. If they do three-peat, what's their legacy?
Their legacy will always be the loophole.
Okay.
The fact that they got Durant.
Yeah.
That's always going to be, you know, they had the big three. Well, that's sort of the death is, but that was the official look. This isn't even, why are we even playing here if you're just going to put the best player in the NBA already on the best team?
What's your favorite matchup to watch in this series?
Would have to be Draymond and Kawhi.
I was going to say either that or Kyle Lowry and Steph Curry. I want to see if Lowry can defensively get into Curry's head, because Lowry's a very good defensive point guard. You know, he's smaller, but he's physical, and he can get away with stuff because he's an all-star himself. So
but he's going to get cold, and he's going to be like 2 for 10. And it's be like, here we go again.
I would hate to see one of those. What was that thing that they said that what was that word that they used when he kind of like checked out in the Cleveland series a few years ago? D something. I don't remember. But I would hate to see that with Kyle Lowry. I don't think that's going to happen in the finals. I don't think it'll get into his head. But yeah,
one can hope.
Okay. On behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. Enjoy the NBA finals. And that's it.
See ya.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.